The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Yeah, I played We Can Work It Out for the very obvious reason that that's exactly what we can probably do or endeavour to do today when Johnson and Varadkar get their act together. So we'll see what happens there. Meanwhile, Green Party member Saoirse McHugh is before me. And thanks for coming in to see us, Saoirse. Nice to say hello to you.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
We were intrigued by your performance at the European elections, where you pulled in nearly 62,000 votes and you were on the cusp of winning a seat and didn't quite work out for you. We're kind of curious to get a bit more information as to who you are and why you went for an election, because you don't strike me as being a political animal, excuse the expression, but you know what I mean by that.
Yeah, no, and I don't feel like one either.
Yeah.
But the longer that I've, you know, it's only been a few months now, but the longer I'm exposed to political animals,
yeah,
you're like, wait a second, there's not like a whole lot of mystery there.
Exactly.
You know?
Let's come to that in a second, because yeah, I've met you before in passing and it stuck with me what you just said there, and we'll develop that point in a moment. But just to give us a kind of potted history of yourself, you're how old now, do you mind me asking?
29.
29 years old now, you're from Mayo. Mm-hmm. And growing up, what was the plan in school in terms of what you wanted to do or be?
When I was quite young, I wanted to be a vet.
Yep.
And then I did a bachelor's in genetics. And I promise you, the only reason that happened was we were doing genetics in biology that week that I filled out the CEO. And I was, you know, you're 16 or whatever.
So no great ambitions to be a geneticist or...
No, I was like, this is nice. I get this. And my principal actually, God love her. She sat me down and she was like, Saoirse, don't do that. Do English. You do not want to do this. And I was like, I want to do it.
Yeah. And you insisted.
And I insisted. And so I kind of floated for a while.
Mm.
And it was only then when I was about 20 or 21 that I started getting interested in agriculture. And that's kind of stuck.
That's the world you went to. Why did your principal say English, I wonder? Were you a debater? Were you one of those people? Were you a reader?
No, we didn't have... I was a reader, okay. An avid reader.
So she liked that.
Yeah, I think that was the only reason.
You went to the UK?
I did my master's in the UK.
In?
Lancaster University.
Okay, and what was the master's subject?
The master's was in sustainable agriculture and food security.
Right.
It's a master's program I think has stopped since, because it's an odd subject because it kind of straddles both like social sciences and then actual science, like the, not actual science, but
I know
life science,
what you're saying,
whatever
yes,
they
yeah,
call them.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they were finding it hard to stick them together. Like I ended up doing a social science master's thesis, but I have a master's in science.
I'm so confused. But either way, you know what you did and you got your you got your qualification. And onwards you went then to, let's get stuck into the politics side of things, because clearly something was awakened in you that you felt you should run for office. And not just any office. I mean, you aimed high. Why?
Well, actually, something wasn't woken in me until someone suggested to me, like, why don't you run? Until Eamon Ryan said, run for us. And what had happened was I had been spending maybe... I'd say the guts of 2 years writing articles, going to different politicians,
sure,
and saying, you need to do this, you need to do that. Can I intern in your office? Can I volunteer with you? Let me help you write policy. Let me, I don't know, photocopy
just
pages or whatever.
In. You wanted to have a go.
Yeah, I wanted to, you know, develop. I'd pull out, in the innocence of me, I'd, you know, read different politicians' manifestos and I'd pull out, like, one of them had food sovereignty. And I was like, okay, I can develop this for you. And it was one of these you should do this meetings with Eamon Ryan.
Yes.
That he said to me, why don't you run? And I think this links back to not feeling like a political animal. It had never occurred to me before that, ever. Not even once. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, actually, I could.
Yes. And then it turned into a campaign, right?
Yeah.
So you had to surround yourself with campaign people, advisors or party or something.
No, it kind of, and I think it's because, like, geez, I'm based in Ackle, so it ended up being me and my boyfriend and my brother. There was a lot of making stuff up. And eventually, like, definitely towards the end, people did start to get on board and come canvassing with us.
Because there was a sense that there was momentum, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there were definitely, like, one or two people. I'm not going to say it was all alone, but I was my campaign manager. Both the brother and the boyfriend tried it at different times, but I'm the bossy one in both of those different relationships.
So, yeah, okay.
So I ended up being the manager of the manager again.
What happened? Was there a tipping point in terms of the attention you got and the traction, if you like, to your campaign?
Well, I think obviously, like, prime time, a lot of people hadn't come across me before, and yeah. It was, you know, a lot of the attention, I think, was a good interview and a bad exit poll. But, you know, we knocked on, I'd say, 35,000, maybe 40,000 doors across the Midlands Northwest. But we'd go canvassing, we'd canvass for a weekend, and then we'd mark out where we had just done, and then you'd zoom out from the map and you wouldn't see it at all.
Yes.
And you'd just be like,
oh, it's a gargantuan task. Yeah.
Oh, some days you think everyone knows about me. Oh my God, I'm going to win this. And then other days you're like, oh my God, nobody knows who I am.
Yes.
This is hopeless. But really, prime time, I think, put me on a lot of people's radars.
Okay. And your entanglements with Peter Casey were really the ones, weren't they, that seemed to get the most attention? Like this moment here from the debate.
This is why I do have a problem with platforming these, like, incoherent, fear-mongering views. Because it looks like it's just for attention, Peter. You haven't an idea what you're talking about. You're an economic migrant yourself. Because there's real repercussions to this absolute nonsense. Go on Dancing with the Stars if you want the attention.
And it, that sort of soundbite. Now, in fairness to you, the interest of fairness to Peter Casey, he would argue, of course, that everything you said to him was wrong and unfair. Mm-hmm. And but you threw the Dancing with the Stars popular cultural reference in the middle of it. And, mm-hmm. and what sort of response were you getting to that?
On like
everything.
Twitter. Well, I trended on Twitter for about now. Obviously,
well, now
there's only certain people on Irish political Twitter at, you know, 10:30 at night.
Yes.
I was like, oh my God, I'm famous. Yeah. But I think people, I don't know. I think a lot of people agreed with me because he had taken up a lot of energy from that election. He had done that to the presidential election. It had just sucked these kind of inconsistent points, kind of.
He did very well in the presidential, you know.
And the MEP election.
Massively so, yeah. So he has a constituency, but for whatever reason, you, as the opposite to what he was thinking, had an appeal too, as can be the case in politics. Now, when we get to the voting itself and the actual election, election night, where were you?
Election night?
Yeah, where did you hang out when the count was...
I went to the pub on election night.
Okay.
And then the MEP count didn't start till Sunday.
Yeah.
And I went up to the Travellers Fund a couple of times. Thank God it was in Castlebar. It was mental. I've never been to a camp before. You've probably been to loads. People walking around with shopping trolleys of ballots. It was really cool, actually. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. And there's certain people who love...
Well, it's a sport for people.
Oh my God.
The pencils and the tallies. It's so exciting.
Marion Harkin is a machine.
Yeah.
And she's a whole team of people who love tallying and...
Yeah, the anoraks, they're great.
Yeah.
And I'm one of them. Because and all these people that you talk about, when they see the boxes emptied, there are some otherworldly people who can look at the pile and say, she's dead.
Yeah.
Or he'll get elected in the fourth count by just looking at the pile.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So you were watching the count proceed and it was looking good. It was kind of, how are you feeling about the comings and goings of all of that?
Well, I'd say by the first tallies, it was really clear that the exit poll was way off. And when it was finally announced, it was like almost a sense of relief. It was an awful high, kind of nervous energy in me before that. And then I really actually began to enjoy the count.
Yeah.
Because it's just a fascinating process.
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, definitely the anxiety and the cameras in my face and people putting like these little microphones they're carrying with them right there, and you're talking to someone else and you realise there's someone standing right there with the microphone. And that's weird.
You were really in it, weren't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. It came close, it didn't happen. Tell me about the realisation that the seat wasn't yours.
Well, I'm not the most gracious of losers. So, like...
Are you not?
No.
That's a very frank admission.
No, I'm actually, anyone who knows me knows I'm quite poor at it. So they announced the first count and it was clear I was no way going to get it.
Mm.
And everyone was, oh, congratulations anyway. And in my head, I'm like, shut up. Congratulations for what? So I had to go hide myself in the toilet for about 20 minutes and just kind of breathe through my sulk. And then after that, as I said, I started to enjoy it.
Okay.
But, you know, and I could actually feel like, oh, congratulations, everyone else who won that wasn't me.
Did you go up to everyone that won and say,
yeah,
well
sure,
done.
I saw them over the course of the next few days. Like, it wasn't over till Wednesday, I don't think.
Yeah, it was a long, long old count. Did you get post-count blues, post-election blues, whatever about not winning, but also the buzz and the intensity of it, and then quiet?
It wasn't so much like blues, but like a inability to focus, or I hadn't realised, obviously, until the election was over, that my entire life, every waking moment had just been arranged around this. And yeah. Then I was like, oh.
What now?
Yeah, I should probably do this, or I should probably do that. And this kind of sense of just loss of purpose combined with total exhaustion.
Yeah.
And it took me ages. I don't know if I'm back into like having a clean house or having food in the fridge.
Yeah.
Because all that had just gone out the window. And yeah, just getting back into
it. Just getting your head back into the zone. What's the plan now? I mean, have you been bitten by the political bug? I have to say, looking at you and talking and listening to you, it strikes me as though you're in this now. You'd love another go at something. You wanted to be...
I want
to
win,
you
Ryan.
Want to win something. So you were going to have a go for the... You weren't nominated for the Shannon by-election recently. I mean, where would you rather go? Senate or Dáil Éireann? You know, or not Dáil Éireann, but to be a TD or a senator?
I'd like to go to be a TD.
TD. And in Mayo, obviously.
In Mayo, yeah.
For the Green Party.
Yeah.
And what if Eamon Ryan turns around as part of his manifesto and says... We need to be in power to make good the green policies. And if that means going back in with our old friends in Fianna Fáil or with a newfound friendship with Fine Gael, you've said you're out. Mm-hmm. Do you stand by that?
Well, firstly, it'll be a vote of the members anyway, regardless of what happened, any coalition is. And when I said, I will not go in with Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, what I was saying was, like, it has nothing to do with Civil War politics. I don't care where those parties came from. What I meant was I will not go in with parties that would stand over direct provision, stand over homelessness. Walking around Dublin, like, obviously in Achill, I can read the figures, and I'm like, oh, that's awful. Mm. But walking past
people...
It's
very visible, yeah.
It's... Mm. And it's like this horror just seeps into you. It's awful to see.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go in with the party that... could stand over that. I wouldn't go in with a party that consistently puts, you know, profit above the environment. So obviously if a programme for government came up and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were like, actually we've totally changed our ways and we are reformed.
But you would listen to argument and with a view to staying within the party and maybe trying to act on some of your policies, even if it was in the presence of Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael colleagues?
Yeah, like as I said, it's nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
But it would need to be a radical move away from their past 100 years trajectory.
Which is the programme for government would have to be
it would have
chiming
to be radical.
With,
they would have to become okay. different parties in their soul.
What do you... I can imagine that in a negotiation. Of course we'll go in, but your
we
soul
need
needs to
reassess. Soul, yeah.
Good luck with that. What do you think of Greta Thunberg?
I think she's brilliant.
She's a 16-year-old environmentalist. I think people don't know who's kind of leading this amazing green wave of youngsters. People 10 years younger than you, even
more than 10 years.
There you are. So that's kind of interesting. And you like her?
I think she is brilliant. I was just looking at her and thinking how hard her life must be at the moment. And I see that. Like, she's definitely gone viral and she's definitely woken a load of kids, especially, up to the green movement. But I hope she's not... Like, it does sometimes look like she's been almost used as greenwashing. You know, people will have her talk at some huge business conference.
Aren't we great to have the Greta?
Aren't the kids so woke?
Yeah.
And then they won't do anything.
So you're worried about the cynicism of it? Is that it? Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I have to assume, because she is a kid, and recently they're awful, embarrassing, you know, these middle-aged men on, like, trolling her on Twitter.
It is. Go on.
It's so embarrassing.
It is. It's just mortifying. But for them, not for you or for her. Go on, anyway.
And I just hope she's insulated, and I assume she is.
She has Asperger's syndrome. Yeah. And people are kind of highlighting that in as a negative, and yeah. that she's you know not being minded enough and what have you. But the trolling is going to always be there. For that is not the way of it. You have it. I get it. We have, it's part and parcel of life. So you either look at it or don't.
Yeah,
it's very easy to avoid trolling.
Yeah, and I suppose the thing about Greta is what she's saying is grown-ups do something. That's her demand.
Yeah.
And I think you know there can be all this. Oh, aren't the kids great? Mm. But unless we then are like, okay, right, what do they want us to do? Then we're, you know, we're kind of disrespecting them in a way.
It's interesting. I was talking to some people recently about it, saying, does it matter? Like if I have my keep cup here, which I do, virtue signal, and or if I have my bottle for my water, you know, which I do, you know, and somebody said, well, who gives that? What's that going to do? I said, well, I don't actually probably know in practice, but I'm trying to take a lead from, say, my own kids mm-hmm. who are saying, you know, you should be doing this and, yeah. you know, reducing. Is there any point in any of that? Or is it is that really, to use the word of the day, cynical? Or are we all making tiny little bits of difference and then that all helps?
I think, yes, we are all making tiny bits of difference and it does help. But there are changes that will need political will yeah. and political action that we can't make. So there's only so many, you know, tepid showers you can take. And we're never going to guilt ourselves into... you know, saving this crisis or mitigating against it. We need political leadership on this.
Yeah.
Because we will need entire, you know, town and rural planning will have to be changed. Transport will have to be changed. Our budgets will have to be changed. Our tax rules will have to be changed. Agriculture.
I would argue with, not against what you're saying, but with you in a positive way to say that before all of that changes, mindsets have to change. Yeah. People have to say, right, I get this. This place, this beautiful planet is probably going to implode or explode or whatever it's going to do unless we actually acknowledge that we need to mind it. Like yeah. you would mind a little bird or yeah. or sick dog. You know, except that it's much more important than that.
And I think people are coming around to it.
Yeah, slowly.
Slowly and then quicker. and okay. I think like that, it will need, and it is increasingly so, getting leadership from those who, like yourself, have a big platform and those who are on television and politicians and celebrities, and they're all lending their voice to this.
Bit by bit.
Yeah, because it's not just the realisation, it's also the allowing it to be socially acceptable.
Yes.
To say, I care.
And that's becoming increasingly yeah. the norm. I think it's the next generation, the current 20 pluses are kind of born into it in a way, and they have to convince old yeah. creatures like me. Lots of comments coming in, really enjoying the interview with Saoirse, voted for in the European election, would love to see her standing in Mayo. Great breath of fresh air. I'm a Mayo voter, says another, and I would vote for her. And another, great to hear Saoirse on the radio and her commitment to food sovereignty. There are over 200 of us doing the 30-day local food challenge this month, and there is a serious gap between what is growing in our fields and what we are eating. We need to grow and eat local food to reduce carbon, especially in the context of Brexit, which is so appropriate to our programme this morning, what with the Johnson-Bradker meeting. And, you know, in the book I was reading at the weekend, Robert Harris talked about second sleep, and it's kind of set mildly in the future, but he was writing over the weekend in an article, we've forgotten as a society nearly where food comes from.
Yeah.
We've forgotten where the clothes and the hangers come. We just assume, and the ease with which everything is obtainable. And actually, if the cyber war happened and it became apocalyptic, not yeah. it sounds like so, but it is novel, it's fiction, we would probably be in struggling to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So intriguing. So yeah. we just need to respect the place a bit yeah. more, isn't that it?
And that mindset, just to say there, like, you often hear it in people like, oh, we have to balance the economy and the environment, and you're like, no, yeah. there is no economy if there is no environment.
Yes.
Like, it's only nestled within a healthy environment.
True words. Listening to the interview reminds me of similar events that brought me to politics and elected to the Dáil and South Dublin Council. From Eamon Walsh, and I wish Saoirse all the best for the future, and the failure to be elected is a lesson to win. And I'm sure you probably heard that a few times. Yeah. And it's kind of grand, but I just want to win. I can see it. I think you're a bit of a sport. Are you sporting Billy type? Because, you know, I think sporting people are competitive in a shock development. But this is, you've lent this to politics too, which is kind of interesting. Saoirse is a breath of fresh air. A lot of that coming in. Great to hear her this morning talking all about her election campaign. Big supporter, says a text of Saoirse, her strength and what she has to say. Officially start to degree tomorrow on climate change, agri and food security. NUIG, that's where you're going, right? I decided to do this about a year ago, but listening to her during the election, she helped build my confidence and belief that I can do this and help make a difference in the long run. And the most importantly, there are still people interested in the environment and striving to help. So you're having this impact, which is good news.
Yeah.
Ian was on to say, what a refreshing, honest and down-to-earth individual. Lucas says, people like Saoirse and Greta have also awakened many other middle-aged men like me. And this is... Yeah, Greta's voice is a pure arrow of truth, as is Saoirse's. So the omens are good if you were to march forward.
I hope all those people vote in Mayo.
Well, I doubt it, but yeah, that's your job now. Less doors, though, for a general election. That's a good thing.
Yeah, but they're dispersed.
Okay, Saoirse, we got to leave it there for now. Thank you so much for your time
Thanks
this morning. It's very
online.
Good to see you, and good luck in all you do. Okay, Saoirse McHugh joining us on the programme this morning.